In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Wednesday, the 7th of January, year of our Lord, 2026. Well, today we have an update on January the 6th. And this time it's on the other side. It's on the left. And the conservatives are doing it to them. We're also going to take a look at the amazing, absurd lies that are now. We have all of the MAGA apologists and big influencers are coming up with their own reasons to excuse what Trump has done. And they are a hoot. We've even got a pastor out there saying, yeah, this is about the oil. It's about the holy anointed oil of God on Donald Trump. Yeah, they're actually telling you that. Meanwhile, we see this other fake Christian, Mike Johnson, out there now indicted for getting $6 million in kickbacks. It's the political equivalent, of course, it's Democrats as well that have been indicted with it. Political equivalent of what's going on with the daycare centers, and it does involve some of them as well. Is gold going to go to $8,500? That's what one guy is saying. We'll be right back. Well, today I want to begin with some of the amusing lies, official and unofficial. It's kind of interesting to look at the indictment, because the official charges make no mention of fentanyl. Isn't that interesting? And of course, we all knew that. We all knew that was a lie. That was as much of a lie as Canada and fentanyl. Remember, you had Jack Posobiec trying to sell that for Trump. The only person who tried to sell that for Trump. Everybody else said, you're crazy. There's no fentanyl coming from there. The DEA has never said there was fentanyl coming from there. Nobody else who followed this insane prohibition agenda said so. But now, I guess you're going to have some of these MAGA shills update their articles and take fentanyl out, because the Department of Justice has taken that out completely. So what is he charged with? Machine guns and cocaine. This is like, what was the movie that had Al Pacino in it, Travis? Say hello to my little friend. Anyway, this is what it's looking like here, right? And look, I'm not defending Maduro. I'm just saying we don't have a right to do this. And it's a very dangerous precedent. The end does not justify the means. Even if it's Trump, even if it's your tribe, the ends don't justify the means. So again, what they're saying, the machine guns figure so prominently because Karen Ladin said, well, you know, pistols are not allowed in the UK, so can the UK come over and start kidnapping American citizens who have pistols or firearms or whatever, because they've got laws against firearms? What they're saying is the machine guns were traded by Maduro for cocaine, and that they were trafficking cocaine. So these weapon counts are part of a broader four-count indictment that includes narco-terrorism conspiracy and cocaine importation conspiracy. Each charge carries a potential maximum sentence of life in prison. So four life in prison charges here. So the four counts basically boil down to narco-terrorism conspiracy, conspiracy to import cocaine, possession of machine guns, and conspiracy to possess machine guns. We see this over and over again from the U.S. government. They charge you with a crime and then a conspiracy to commit the crime. Interestingly enough, they only charge them with a conspiracy to import cocaine, not with actually doing it. So again, we can let them work out the fine details of that. This is just part of our lawless system here in the U.S., internally as well as internationally. The indictment accuses Maduro of leading a long-running conspiracy of the Cartel of the Sun. Oh, wait a minute. They took that out, too. It's no longer the Cartel of the Sun. Isn't that interesting? So the formal criminal charges are cocaine-specific. There are no fentanyl-related charges. The word does not appear in the indictment. And another phrase that is disappearing here is this Cartel of the Suns. Actually, the Cartel of the Suns, as we said before, they said, well, you know, is it really a formal thing? Well, they'll say that it's a formal organization when it suits their purpose, and they'll say it's an informal association when it doesn't suit their purpose. This is a label that was put on by journalists talking about the fact that you had so many of these generals who had a sun insignia on their uniforms were involved in the drug trade there of cocaine, not fentanyl. And so they called it the Cartel of the Suns, journalists did. But it was not a formal organization. Nevertheless, the Trump administration had treated it that way. In March of 2020, during Trump's first term, you know, what else happened in March of 2020? That was when he declared the pandemic on that Friday the 13th, March the 13th, and locked everything down. So we were paying attention to some other things. But the Department of Justice indicted Maduro over this Cartel of the Suns thing. The formal indictment there at the time referenced the Cartel of the Suns as a formal Venezuelan drug trafficking organization composed of high-ranking Venezuelan officials. The narrative intensified in 2025 in Trump's second term. The U.S. Treasury Department designated it as a terrorist entity. And then under Marco Rubio in November, they formally labeled it a foreign terrorist organization. But now they have dropped it completely. It had appeared over 30 times in these other indictments, but now it's just disappeared, just like fentanyl. And the victory is going to evaporate as well, folks, as we see the resistance already building. They're going to have a long-term problem with this, just like they do with nation building. And that's what they're looking at. We're going to rebuild the oil infrastructure there. Well, I think the people that are there are going to have something to say about that. So the cartel purpose was nothing other than an exaggeration for geopolitical purposes. We can all see that as well. As a matter of fact, you go back and you look at it, what really was the Cartel of the Suns? It was a conspiracy, we're told, of high-ranking Venezuelan officials to traffic cocaine. I have said from the very beginning that if you want to know what the real drug cartel is, the biggest one in the world, look no further than the CIA. And this has been going on for decades. Here's a report from 60 Minutes, decades ago, about the CIA Venezuelan drug cartel.
A ton of cocaine, pure cocaine worth hundreds of millions, is smuggled into the United States. Sound familiar? Not the way this ton of cocaine got here. According to what the former head of the Drug Enforcement Administration told Mike Wallace, this drug shipment got here courtesy of what he calls drug trafficking by the CIA in partnership with the Venezuelan National Guard.
Let me understand what you're saying. A ton of cocaine was smuggled into the United States of America by the Venezuelan National Guard?
Well, they...
In cooperation with the CIA?
That's exactly what appears to have happened.
Until last month, Judge Robert Bonner was the head of the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. And Judge Bonner explained to us that only the head of the DEA is authorized to approve the transportation of any illegal narcotics like cocaine into this country, even if the CIA is bringing it in.
Let me put it this way, Mike. If this has not been approved by DEA or an appropriate law enforcement authority in the United States, then it's illegal. It's called drug trafficking. It's called drug smuggling.
So what you're saying, in effect, is the CIA broke the law. Simple as that.
I don't think there's any other way you can rationalize around it.
Back in the 1980s, the CIA was mandated by then-President Reagan to develop intelligence on the Colombian drug cartels. And so the CIA, with Venezuela's Guardia Nacional, or National Guard, set up an undercover operation, a drug smuggling operation in Venezuela, that could handle the transshipment of the Colombian cartel's cocaine on its way to market. Annabelle Grimm was a DEA agent with 18 years' experience when she was made agent in charge in Caracas. And she says that the CIA station chief, James Campbell, and this man, Mark McFarland, the CIA officer in charge at the center, told her that to keep the undercover smuggling operation credible, they had to keep the cartel happy. And the way to do that was simple. Deliver their dope, untouched by U.S. law enforcement, to the cartel's distributors, their dope dealers in the United States.
the CIA and the Guardia Nacional wanted to let cocaine go on into the traffic without doing anything. They wanted to let it come up to the United States, no surveillance, no nothing.
And of course, that wasn't their first or last rodeo. Look at what they did with opioids in Afghanistan. Look what they did with crack cocaine and used Freeway Ricky Ross to distribute it so they could fund their black wars, their secret wars. And so in the original charging document back in 2020, Cartel of the Suns was mentioned 30 times. It was mentioned twice in this one, but not as a formal organization. That's the way they referred to it 30 times in 2020. Now they referred to it as a patronage system, as a culture of corruption, you know, like the CIA. That's exactly what this stuff is about. And so you now got people who are lined up to defend this, and the people who have attached themselves, the Trump sucker media, they've attached themselves to Trump in order to make money. And so they're coming out now with new justifications for this. As a matter of fact, it was on the anniversary of January the 6th that you heard this. Well, I'm not for regime change, but
we need serious action, obviously. But you look how scared the Democrats are. They know it's closing in. You got caught up by the break. I remember this point about why we're going into Venezuela. And I'm not normally for regime change, but it's not just about the drugs. It's not just about...
Oh, yeah, we don't support regime change.
Been the power...
No, you pushed it, Alex. You pushed it proudly with that guy who's a billionaire from Overstock. What's his name? Patrick Byrne. You're pushing it, telling everybody, it's a good thing. This is something we can win. We can always whoop their butt in South America. Pathetic. Pathetic. And then, of course, there's Glenn Beck as well. And he's got his own reason, and basically his reason is this is good because it's good geopolitics. Let me tell you something. Geopolitics is nothing other than the kind of left, right, Republican, Democrat tribalism that they sell you domestically. We should go take out Venezuela because of who they do business with, who their allies are, what their political philosophy is. That's the bottom line.
So I want to go over, I put a chalkboard up, and if you're watching us at glennbeck.com, you'll see Venezuela, China, Iran, they're all connected. All of these things are connected. And if somebody tells you this is all about the oil, listen to them. Because it is, but I don't know if they understand what they're saying.
Yeah, every war we've had has been
about
oil.
They're saying, well, this is about drugs.
CIA shill.
This is about terror. This is about the hemisphere. This is about the U.S. military and the war machine.
It's about our tribes.
Yes, to all of those things. So let me pull them apart. First of all, right now, Venezuela has the largest proven oil reserves on Earth. 303 billion barrels. That's $17+ trillion at the current market value. They also claim about 8,000 to 10,000 tons of gold that is still in ground. Okay. Now, here's the part you're not being told. With all of that oil, we don't need the oil. Have you noticed the gas prices? They keep coming down. We don't need the oil. We need to pull the oil out of the ground ourselves, which we are. We need to refine it ourselves, which we are. China needs the oil. China buys 60 to 90% of all
because
of
we had trillions of dollars of oil
exports.
But now you don't want to pull it out?
China also buys 85 to 90% of all of the oil from Iran. China also buys nearly half of all Russian oil. What's happening right now? Well, 60 to 90% of all of the exports from Venezuela now not going to China. How is China going to be able to power all of their electricity needs? How are they going to do that if they don't get oil from Venezuela? Oh, and what else has been destabilized this weekend? Iran. They buy...
Hey, we're going to own the Chinese, just like we own the Democrats. Isn't that great? Yeah, let's have war for all of this stuff. Look, here's the newsflash. All the wars have been about oil. We look at Syria. That was about an oil pipeline, our oil pipeline versus theirs. Look at the fight over the oil pipelines coming from Russia into Germany, the Nord Stream 1 and 2. Again, it's about who's going to supply the oil and who's going to have energy to run their country. These guys have never pushed so hard against the green agenda, which wanted to destroy our oil and embargo it for the left. And look, that ship sailed a long time ago. You look at Germany, look at UK, they are being destroyed by the green agenda that says that you can't use oil, you can't use... They just had a particular diocese in England, and the Church of England made this particular church, this particular diocese, right after they put in a natural gas heater. They said, no, you're going to have to, brand new. They said, just rip that out, throw it away. This is the insanity that has beset the West. And yet they still will fight over oil. Because that narrative about green stuff is not for the people who fly private jets. It's not for the people who have yachts. It's not for the people who shoot in the countries who shoot rockets into space. It's not to restrict the military from shooting rockets and missiles. It's to stop you from being able to move with a car, to be able to have lights and electricity and heat and cool your home. That's what it's for. It's not about what they say it's about. Never is about what they say it's about. And so what Glenn Beck is doing is he's, and I played this clip for you once before. This is, the clip has now since gone very viral. This is the Jack Ryan character talking about the fact that Venezuela has a lot of resources and it's allied with people that we don't like, that we want to get rid of. You know, it's those Democrats out there. No, I'm sorry, not Democrats. It's China, Russia, and Iran, right? So we've got this tribalism. There's that other tribe out there. We've got to own them. And so we've got to shut this down. And just remember that Tom Clancy always sold the CIA agenda. I mean, he worked in conjunction with Steve Pachinik. It was a psyop. You know, that's what Steve Pachinik was all about. Psychological manipulation. That was what his major was psychology. And so it was all propaganda, influence peddling from the CIA running through Tom Clancy. As a matter of fact, I think it was in the late 1980s. I think I looked it up the other day. I think it was 1989 that he wrote the book Clear and Present Danger. And at that point, the war on drugs had been going on for a couple of decades and everything was just getting worse and we weren't winning. And so the premise of that, not necessarily the movie, but the premise of the book was, well, we're just going to, CIA is going to do what's necessary. We're going to go to actual war against the cartels. We're going to go in and use covert operations and strikes to take them out by force, which is what Trump is doing now. But you got Jack Ryan telling everybody this, and everybody is... hoorah about all this stuff and saying, yeah, it's exactly right because they've got resources and because they're the other side, we need to destroy them.
Would you assume is the most major threat on the world stage?
Definitely Russia.
Definitely Russia. Who else?
China.
Stop yelling at me, but China is a good answer. Venezuela? Anybody? Everybody's cool with Venezuela? No threat? Okay. Which one of these places can claim to have the largest oil deposit on the planet? More than Saudi? More than Iran? Wow. Okay, what about things like gold? More than all the mines in Africa combined? Venezuela.
Glenn Beck is just going right down this script.
Resource of oil and minerals.
He plagiarizes the CIA narrative.
Why is this country in the midst of one of the greatest...
His version of Operation Mockingbird.
...in modern history? On the news, they'll call it a crisis. But on the world stage, they'll call it a failed state. Other examples of a failed state in recent history are Yemen, Iraq, in Syria. And if that's not bad enough news for you, well, Venezuela is also the only one of these places within 30-minute range from the U.S. of next-gen nuclear missiles. You will not hear about any of this on the news because the biggest players on the world stage do not want you to. Russia, China, can never be the most major threat until countries like Venezuela leave the door open to our very own backyard.
Oh, it's that domino thing again. Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, it's not just the Glenn Becks and the Alex Jones selling the CIA narratives and trying to get you to follow. Yeah, we got to do this. We got to. As a matter of fact, you're starting to see within just a couple of days the same types of forces that have basically handed us defeat in all of these nation-building, regime-changing coups that we have been involved in. You're starting to see that gradually build back already. But we've got other reasons that we're being told by the MAGA people. This is a cultist. See, his name here is Hank Kuhneman, who purports to speak to God, declaring that the U.S. capture of the Venezuelan president, Maduro, was the work of the oil of my spirit, says God. They say, you have seized Venezuela for the oil? Yes, this is true, he says.
They say, you have seized Venezuela for the oil. Yes, this is true, that there is that which has been brought to the forefront of this earthly battle. But the enemy has sought and was seeking to bring war and to bring conflict.
So we did it.
Through Venezuela and to control the oil of the earth. But the spiritual oil and the natural oil does not belong to the forces of darkness or to those who thought that they could bring a one world order. This is my reset. And the oil of the natural and the oil of the spirit is mine, says the Lord.
Deceivers. Grifters. What a reproach to the name of Christ people like that are. And then you've got General Flynn, who goes around having people repeat after him occultic prayers to ascended masters. He goes into Christian church buildings with this Reawaken America tour. And he gave an interview to Newsmax, I think it was. No, actually, this is Lindell TV. And he's telling us all that it is not regime change, it's something else.
Everybody in the mainstream media is sort of going crazy right now because the president is bombing these ships. Do you have any comment or thoughts on that? Is it necessary? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the comment that I have is that the media is lying when they say that this is regime change. This is not regime change, okay? It was a duly elected president. Her name is Maria Machado. She's a duly elected president.
Not elected.
And when she won the when she won their election,
she didn't.
Maduro's made it. You know, he said, "Nope, ain't gonna happen," and he took the country over. So he basically, you know, and she's been on the run, you know, hiding out in the jungles of Venezuela. She's the one that just won the Nobel Peace Prize, right? So this is not regime change.
She's not in the jungles either. He is so factually challenged about all this stuff. Look, she did very well in some other elections, but she was not allowed to be on the ballot. And the person who was allowed to be on the ballot, Gonzalez, everybody agrees, did beat Maduro. That's what he's trying to talk about. But isn't it interesting? So the basis of this is that because Maduro overturned the election of Gonzalez, not Machado, because he overturned the election of Gonzalez, then we're not really doing regime change because the true president is Gonzalez. Let me ask you, why aren't we putting Gonzalez in power? Why aren't we even putting Machado in power? She became a figurehead leader for the opposition. Why isn't she in power? Well, we know why. Because Trump is jealous that she got the Nobel Prize. This is how petty and what nonsense this all is. They want to say that it's not regime change. And yet they are not allowing the person that they say legitimately won the election. They're not allowing that person to rule. They're keeping those people out. Going to keep out Machado as well, because he doesn't like her. Because she took what he thought was his. He imagined that he was the rightful owner of the Nobel Peace Prize. He didn't get it. So now he's going to take a piece of Venezuela. And now he's going to run Venezuela instead of the woman who won the Peace Prize instead of him. And Rand Paul had this to say about how he got it wrong about Trump and how disappointed he was in Trump. Because, again, you take these people when they're candidates, you take them at their word. After they're president, after the first term, why would you take somebody at their word again? Now they've got a record. and you should be voting for them based on their record, based on the phony pandemic that he led, based on the bioweapon that he engineered, the financing of. And in the same way that he gave billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical companies, public money that turned into private fortunes for corporations and for executives, Trump is now repeating that same game plan, doing it with the oil companies. That's the plan for this as well. He's going to take public money and give it to the oil companies. Look, the oil companies, as somebody pointed out, I think it was it Glenn Beck that said it, oil is down right now in terms of price. The last thing these guys want is for there to be a glut of oil on the marketplace. And it's going to be a major investment for them to get the infrastructure up to extract that oil. And if they start extracting it in large quantities, that's going to depress the price. Do you remember when we had the OPEC oil crisis? A lot of people were saying, you don't know who OPEC is? OPEC is Exxon and these other organizations. They don't want to have a lot of oil out there. They want it to be rare. They want it to be scarce. As a matter of fact, you go back and look at these oil companies like Exxon. I remember when Trump picked Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon. And at that point in time, I thought maybe Trump was the real deal and maybe he was just being misguided. I thought that for about a month or two. So I'm tweeting at him, I'm tweeting at Alex, and Alex got very angry about that. Don't put my name on a tweet criticizing Trump, and contacted me. And all these other people saying, you're crazy. You know, Rex Tillerson is not pushing the Green New Deal. I said, yes, he is. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. He's a CEO of an oil company. They're different. It's like, no, you don't understand. The oil companies are some of the biggest investors in this stuff. And oil and natural gas companies are investing in wind farms, the biggest wind farm off the coast of Long Island in New York. That's run by a foreign oil or gas company. But yeah, these traditional energy firms are trying to get into this other stuff because there's a lot of money to be made in that. And they're going to jump into that. So they're not interested in flooding the market with trillions of dollars worth of oil at today's prices, because that would take the price per barrel way, way, way down. So Trump is going to bribe them. He's going to give them a lot of money because he wants to look good. He wants this to look like it's winning. But Rand Paul had this to say about Trump and regime change.
This is something that I remember in the first debate in 2016, the first presidential debate, when I was there in the primary, talking to his family, and how they all said, oh, we like Ron Paul, we like the Paul family, we like this idea of not being involved in these wars. It was something I liked about Donald Trump. It was one of the things, whenever I had misgivings about something else, I would always come back and say, well, he's the best we've ever had, much better than the Bushes, who were war mad and wanted to be involved in all these crazy wars overseas or make the world safe for democracy. I never liked any of that, and I thought Trump was different. And so it disappoints me, but he's under the thrall of Lindsey Graham.
Under the thrall of Lindsey Graham, under the thrall of the CIA. As a matter of fact, Lindsey Graham, first person he's endorsed for this next election in 2026. And you saw Lindsey on board the plane, like Grimer Wormtongue. It's just amazing. But getting back to the regime change that we are now involved in, because we're doing our own regime change. Part of the reason why we're supposed to get Maduro is because he wouldn't let Machado run for office, even though she had done well in preliminary elections, took her off the ballot. And then when Gonzalez beat him, wouldn't let Gonzalez be there. What are we doing? Are we going to let Gonzalez or Machado run? No. How is Trump, when it comes to the elections and corruption with that kind of stuff, how is he different from Maduro? And that's one of the reasons why Alex Jones was saying, well, this is about the election. This is a corruption center for the elections. He does that on J6. So we got to go in there and flush out Venezuela because of corruption for the elections. A new reason, right? The fentanyl didn't work. The cartel of the suns didn't work because that's actually the CIA working with Venezuelan officials to run that stuff in. So that stuff didn't work. So let's try a new angle. Let's talk about the election stuff on January the 6th and how Venezuela is the center of corrupt elections. Well, Machado went on with Sean Hannity on Fox News, And they were going back and forth, a lot of talk about the peace prize, because everybody understands that this is why Trump is going to deny the will of the people in Venezuela and not put in the person that they wanted as leader, because she took his Nobel Peace Prize, right? So Maria Corina Machado, goes on with Sean Hannity, said she'd love to personally give her Nobel Prize to Trump after news reports that Trump had passed over supporting her as interim leader because she hadn't originally insisted that he be given the prize. Again, how petty, but it's about his ego. Attempting to force regime change, people are criticizing him for that, and that's what this really is, it's regime change. But also pointing out that just days before he did this invasion, back in December, remember, he pardoned Juan Orlando Hernandez, the former president of Honduras, who was then convicted of drug trafficking. Let's talk a little bit about that. When did that happen, and how did that happen? That's interesting to look at. This was, when I talked about extradition and what the internationally agreed upon process is, it's that you don't invade another country to take whoever you want. You have treaties with people. You have to have something that is a crime in both countries, and the government of one country turns it over to another one. You don't violate their sovereignty. And if it's a head of state, you don't do anything at all about it, unless that person is no longer head of state. And so we see that Juan Hernandez, the former president of Honduras, after he left office, was arrested by the Honduran police. And the Honduran government complied with an extradition order from the United States. That happened in 2022. He was convicted, he was in prison, and then Trump pardons him. But notice how that happened. It was after he left office, and it was his own country that arrested him and extradited him to the United States. Take a look at the guy that Trump loves and wants to pattern his own actions after, Duterte, Roberto Duterte, out of the Philippines, who was doing extrajudicial killings like Trump, just under the allegation that somebody is involved in drug stuff. You think they're doing drugs? Kill them. And Trump's done that 150 times, they brag about it, right? I think it's 150. It's over 100 anyway. And that's more murders than they've got against Duterte in the trial that he is currently going through right now. But they did that after he left office and he was turned in and extradited by a government. But Trump violates all the international rules and standards and sovereignties. There are no borders for the Trump administration. Just understand that. They don't recognize legal borders, legal boundaries. They don't recognize national boundaries. They do whatever they wish. And that's what is so dangerous about this. You know, forget about oil, forget about geopolitics, forget about all the rest of this stuff. Those are all the ends. And people say, well, this is motivation, what he's trying to do. And I think that that's a good thing. Well, maybe it is. But you have to understand that as conservatives, we don't embrace the idea that the end justifies the means. Because the way that Trump is doing all this stuff, as I said so many times, even when you look at what's going on with ICE, right? The way that he is doing this, yes, we need to deport people who have defied our laws, people who come here who are on welfare and defiantly so, because this is, as we pointed out, this is a strategy to take down America, and we've seen what it looks like in other countries as well. But you do it with due process, and you do it with not trying to maximize conflict. That's what Trump is trying to do. He's trying to maximize his mafia-like power because he wants to maximize conflict. He deliberately goes to places that are going to oppose him in terms of deportation. And he avoids, until journalists pointed out, he avoids going after the illegal truck drivers who can't even speak English driving 18-wheelers. He ignores the Somalian corruption that's in Minneapolis until everybody kind of forces his hand. He can't ignore it anymore. But he wanted the conflict. And so the opposition leader, Edmundo Gonzalez, had won the election in 2024. They had barred Machado from running. But Trump is not going to put either one of them in power. Those who, if they want to say, well, this is about a legitimate government, they're not going to put the people that they say legitimately won. Whether they did or not, I don't know who won the election. I don't really care. It's not my country. But the people they say won are the people they say are not going to be allowed to run the country. How is that not regime change? Trump had publicly torpedoed the idea of Machado as an interim replacement, saying, well, it'd be very tough for her to be the leader. She doesn't have the support or the respect of the country. No, she doesn't have the support or respect of Trump because of his ego. But then what about Gonzalez? You're not going to put him in? Members of the Venezuelan opposition were stunned by Trump's brutal rejection of Machado. Her acceptance of the Nobel Peace Prize itself was viewed as the ultimate sin by a president who has loudly coveted it, and her effusive praise for Trump at the time was inadequate to satisfy him. She didn't suck up enough to him. If she had turned it down and said, I can't accept it because it's Donald Trump's, she'd be president of Venezuela today, said a source for the Washington Post. So she went on Monday with Sean Hannity. They kicked off the segment by diving straight into the issue of succession. And he said, before running through a brief synopsis of her record, he said, having rose to prominence after winning the independently run opposition presidential primary with more than 92% of the vote, before Maduro then dictated that she be taken off the ballot, Machado had also dedicated her Nobel Prize, quote, to the suffering people of Venezuela and to President Trump for his decisive support of our cause. Hannity noted. He said she has thanked President Trump for his support and commended his resolve to help the people of Venezuela many times publicly on X and elsewhere. So let's all kiss his behind. And Sean Hannity is very experienced at doing that. Machado began by thanking Hannity and Fox News for the incredible support you have given to us throughout this long journey for the cause of democracy of our people in Venezuela. After discussing how Maduro had banned her from the ballot, and the opposition had organized to support Gonzalez and had defeated Maduro by a landslide, was what they said. They said it was incredible under extreme conditions, unfair conditions. And so Hannity asked her about dedicating her Nobel Prize to Trump. Hannity said, it's not very usual that people will dedicate the Nobel Prize to the leader of a different country and say publicly that he deserves this more than I do, said Hannity. But you did that. Machado said, let me be very clear. As soon as I learned that we'd been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, I dedicated it to Trump because I knew at that point he deserved it. And a lot of people, most people, said it was impossible to achieve what he'd just done on Saturday, January the 3rd. And so I believe he deserved it. Bow, scrape, bow, scrape. Trump had proven to the world what he means, Machado continued, because January the 3rd will go down in history as the day justice defeated tyranny, a milestone that was a huge step for the Venezuelan people, for humanity, freedom, and human dignity. Except that we destroy the rule of law, the Constitution, all the rest of it. Hannity said, did you at any point offer to give him the Nobel Peace Prize? Did that actually happen? I had read that somewhere. I wasn't sure if it was true. Machado said, well, it hasn't happened yet, but I would certainly love to be able to personally tell him that we believe the Venezuelan people, because this is a prize of the Venezuelan people, we certainly want to give it to him and share it with him. Oh, please, let us do that. And so when we look at all the different fake narratives, whether it's people saying, well, now, see, it didn't work about fentanyl, it doesn't work about the drug stuff. These people weren't coming to America, that they blew up without any due process. So let's come up with a different rationale. Oh, let's make it about the elections stuff. Yeah, let's do make it about the elections, Alex. Let's talk about why Trump is not putting in the people that Trump and the administration said were the legitimate winners. What about that contradiction? And then we talk about all of the CIA narrative from Tom Clancy to Glenn Beck. And just understand that there was also a lot of garbage out there about the cheering people who said that with tears. Remember that? All the crowds with tears. Well, it turns out that that was AI slop. This went viral as well, this video here. Yeah, Venezuelans take to the streets to celebrate Maduro's downfall. There's an elderly lady crying. And there's many indications from a lot of people that this is simply AI. And it is. It's AI slop. This is new level propaganda, folks. Hey, he finally fell. We are free, as they cry. Viva Venezuela Libre. Thank you, God. Thank you. Yeah. All this stuff. Yeah, it goes on and on and on. And the person who helped put that out, they filtered this out with a big influencer. Wall Street Apes. I don't know if this guy was one of the people that they gave the Epstein documents to or not. But he's got just under 6 million people. And he made this go viral, that fake AI video. And here's his comments. He said, Venezuelans are crying on their knees, thanking Trump and America for freeing them from Maduro. I added English subtitles so that you can understand them. The people cry for their freedom. Thanks to the United States for freeing us. The hero. Thank you, Donald Trump. Well, it turns out it was all AI. These people are manufacturing support. And it's just another tool of propaganda and control. And they run it through these influencers, these propagandists, people like Wall Street Apes. They go to him and say, hey, we got this great video, and he puts it up. Those impacted by the attacks, Venezuelans living and working in Venezuela, are resolutely opposed to the strikes, with thousands mobilizing in numerous Venezuelan cities to protest. The death toll from the U.S. strikes currently stands at 80 soldiers and civilians, a figure which will likely go up as the dust settles, writes Futurism. A November survey found that 86% of Venezuelans preferred for Maduro to remain head of state to resolve the country's economic woes. Only 8% favored the far-right opposition party, which has support from Trump. So is that why he's not putting in Machado or Gonzalez? Because maybe they don't have the support that they say that they did. But again, if you can't have it both ways. Oh, yes, you can if you're Donald Trump. You can have it both ways. You can say that they won the election and Maduro stole it from them. So he's not the legitimate president. But they're not popular enough for us to put them in to run the government. How can both of those things be true? Well, they can both be true if you are someone who lies like Hillary Clinton and has a massive entourage of people who are going to push those lies for you. As a matter of fact, Dan Bongino, now that he's out, he's going to come after all those blackpillers. You know, all the people blackpilling the public, telling them that Trump has betrayed them, that he's lied to them, that he's doing the wrong things. Shut up. Get in line. We don't have time for this kind of stuff. We got midterms coming up in 2026, says Dan Bongino. He's going to go to war with the people who criticize Trump. After he completely discredited himself, it'll be interesting to see if he's got an audience. After he discredited himself with the Epstein lies that he sold. So only 8% favored the far-right opposition, which has the support of Trump. Even many Venezuelans who oppose Maduro are opposed to the U.S. incursion to oust him. Yet, if you ask the American Trump supporters, Venezuelans are actually thrilled about the invasion. And we can see it right there. The evidence is the AI video. That had more than 5 million views. Wall Street Apes shared the minute-long video and pushed it, saying he translated it for them. Of course, as anyone versed in the visual language of AI will quickly notice, it is a compilation of low-quality AI clips. The people cry for their freedom. Thanks to the U.S. for freeing us, said the narrator. The hero, thank you, Donald Trump. A U.S. account with nearly 140,000 followers replied to the video from Wall Street Apes, which has got millions, said, I'm so jealous. I want the same freedom and the same joy for Iran and the Iranian people. Well, I'm jealous, too. I would like to have that kind of freedom here in America, which we don't have. See, that's the whole thing. You're supposed to cheer the Republicans because they're not Democrats. And we're supposed to be really happy and accepting of the tyranny that is being imposed on us by both the Republicans and the Democrats, because, hey, we're not Venezuelan. So can I get that kind of freedom from the U.S. government? The U.S. Empire's war propaganda is getting much more sophisticated. You can bet the U.S. government will use AI to justify its many more wars of aggression. Plenty more AI-generated misinformation has surfaced following the attacks spread by conservative politicians like Vince Lago, mayor of Coral Gables, Florida. AI-generated images of Maduro and various U.S. custody centers began to circulate in the hours immediately after his kidnapping, well before the authentic images were released by the Trump administration on his social media platform, the Ministry of Truth. Ministry of Truth Social. Mexican politician and political journalist, observed that the AI slop follows decades of efforts by the U.S. government and media to manufacture consent among the Western masses for intervention in oil-rich South American state. And, of course, that's what Patrick Byrne and Alex Jones were doing. Yeah, we should do this. You know, we can we can win in South America. Let's go there for a win. You know, we can kick those people around. They're there to manufacture consent for aggression in other countries. In 2002, Venezuelan President Chavez was briefly ousted in what came to be called the world's first media coup, where lies said on TV paved the road. It shouldn't be a surprise that in 2025, this new tech and these fake AI videos are being used for similar ends, because that's what they always do. Well, we got a couple of comments here before we take a break. S.A. Miller, 123, Beck and Jones are both very good actors. Their crying faces really pierce my heart. And they will both do this con job on you. Look, it's necessary. I see people say, well, you know, Alex told the truth about this and that, and I'm really grateful to him for it. That's how he gets your confidence. That's how a con game works. You know, somebody's going to con you. What do they do? If it's an investment con or something like that, they'll give you some things that are going to work out for you. And at the very beginning of the con, the person is telling the truth, or the stuff that they're, you know, they make sure that you make money off of something or whatever. And then the back end comes. And that's when they do the rug pull. That's what's called controlled opposition. It's classic. Jerry Alitalo. As if it were already very difficult to battle and stop the corrupt liar, mass murderer, fascist. Now warriors fighting the good fight have to battle fascist AI deceptions. That's right. Empowered Solution says, I love that, the Ministry of Truth Social. That's really what this is about. And look, you know, he sets up his own propaganda organization. That's what social media is. It's an organization that is set there to propagandize you. But even more importantly, as I've said so many times, one of the reasons why the intelligence agencies and geospatial intelligence is its own agency within the intelligence forces there. That's where James Clapper rose. And it was the fastest growing part of the intelligence community. That was put together in the late 1990s as they were putting together Incutel, their venture capital firm, openly supporting these various companies because it was going to give them so much control. And just look at the history of mass communication. You know, the printing press allowed them to do a lot with propaganda, the newspapers and things like that. You know, William Randolph Hearst saying, you know, let me know where the war is and I'll sell it for you, that type of thing. Then it got better when you had radio. Then you could bring in this kind of emotion, and adding video to it made it even more visceral. But with all of those things, whether it was newspaper, whether it was audio and video, they didn't have a way to really tell how effective their propaganda was. They had polling. And that could help them, but it didn't give them the kind of instantaneous feedback and the kind of detailed information that social media does. Social media can tell them if people are paying attention, does that get their attention to have crying Venezuelans there? Are people believing it? Look at their comments. They'll even tell you. This is a propagandist dream, social media is, and so that's why I call it Truth Social, Ministry of Truth Social. Well, let's take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back. I promise I'm not going to spend the entire time on this, but it is very important because of the precedents that are being set. It's a very dangerous time right now, the end of the fourth turning, and Trump is their guy for chaos and for the overturn of our civilization and our institutions.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, again, let's take a look at how this nation building is going to work. And it's already starting to show some very ugly fractures as well as some very ugly plans. Trump said he's going to run the country, but weren't any details about that. But now, one of the interesting things that's coming out, and I mentioned this the very first day, he says, well, the oil companies will go in and do that. If they want to get reimbursed, I thought, reimbursed? Remember that? I talked about it. So what kind of money is he going to give them? Well, we're starting to see the lines of that scam start to come into clarity here. Trump says the U.S. government may reimburse oil companies for rebuilding Venezuela's infrastructure. He's going to have to bribe them because, again, flooding the world with oil is counter to their interests. Always has been. So they're going to get reimbursed by us or through revenue. And again, you know, the very fact that you go back and look at 1979, OPEC and all the rest of the stuff, they had record profits with that. They liked that fact that oil got scarce and the price went high. You know, it's like the De Beers family with diamonds. They want it to be rare and they want to have a monopoly on it. They want it to be rare. And, you know, the worst thing that happened to the diamond cartel is that people came up with very good ways to synthetically make real diamonds, not just cubic zirconium. So, they're manufacturing instead of mining diamonds now. So the oil companies don't want to have a glut of the product that they're doing. They want to have a monopoly on it, but they don't want to have a glut of their product out there. And so they're not on board with this. But just like Pfizer and Moderna, Trump is going to give them public money to do what is counter to the public interest. And he is going to let them profit off of this. Trump said that he believes the U.S. oil industry could get expanded operations in Venezuela up and running in fewer than 18 months. So now we've got another warp speed thing here. Maybe we could call this Operation Warped Corruption. A tremendous amount of money will have to be spent, he said, and the oil companies will spend it. And then they'll get reimbursed by us or through revenue. So you look at the things that Trump is really focused on as he wants to run our country, run Venezuela. He's going to unleash our credit card, our national credit card, for AI, right? No expense is too great. We have to have something that is bigger than the Manhattan Project, bigger than the space race. That's for AI. They get whatever they want. And we're going to clear the decks. Nobody's going to have any rules or regulations to get in their way. They can do whatever they want, and they're going to have a blank check, a blank credit card from the federal government. Just like we did with the bioweapon shots that he's so proud of. And so now we're going to do that for the oil companies as well. Trump said he believed that tapping Venezuela's oil reserves is going to reduce oil prices. Again, he's going to have to pay the oil companies because it will. He may be stupid economically, but he's not that stupid. He knows that's going to happen. Asked if the administration had briefed any oil companies ahead of Saturday's military operation, he said, no, but we've been talking to them about the concept of what if we did it? Well, other people who are on the inside, as we look at who was it that made $400,000 in just a couple of hours on the polymarket prediction thing by predicting when the invasion was going to happen. Well, we know that the New York Times and the Washington Post had advanced information about the timing. People in the Pentagon and the Trump administration had advanced information about the timing. A few people at the very top, and they're bragging about how this was kept so tightly and so closely, they should be able to find out who it was that used that insider information. But also the oil companies, it was said at the time, knew that this was going to happen, knew that it was very, very close to happening. So he's playing word games with them. You know, well, we didn't exactly tell them we're going to do it at this particular time. He said, what if we did this? You know, how are we going to war game? So they know that it's going to happen. It's going to happen very soon. The oil companies were absolutely aware that we were thinking about doing something, said Trump, but we didn't tell them we were going to do it. Trump told NBC News it was too soon to say whether he had personally spoken to top executives at America's three largest oil producers, ExxonMobil, Chevron, and ConocoPhillips. He said, I speak to everybody. Well, ConocoPhillips declined to comment. Chevron declined to comment. Exxon declined to comment. And so he is putting Energy Secretary Chris Wright in charge of this. He's going to give these people who don't want to talk about it massive blank checks. Maduro's motorcycle thugs going door to door in a hunt for Trump supporters in Venezuela. Yeah, as a matter of fact, this headline was at InfoWars. I fell on my chair laughing. This is former Navy SEAL, that's Matt Bracken, issues emergency warning to Trump. A guerrilla war, G-O-R-I-L-L-A. And Venezuela could be 10 times worse than Vietnam. Well, look, what, it's not Matt Bracken's fault. It's whoever did that headline. There doesn't know the difference between a gorilla and a guerrilla, right? Or whatever, a gayrilla, I guess we should call it.
Yeah, a war in Venezuela could be bananas.
That's right.
They're really going ape over there. That's
you know, we have these...
I'm sick of all this monkey business.
Yeah, you monkey around and find out, right? What Mac Bracken was saying, he says, look, you know, there's a lot of people there. There's jungles like Vietnam. This is not... If they turn this into a domestic asymmetric war, it's going to be very difficult to win that. And he's absolutely right. But... It's a guerrilla war, and it was actually picked up by another news aggregator who, that's where I first saw it. A news aggregator picked it up and picked up the headline verbatim. They didn't change the headline either. They didn't know. The news aggregator didn't. So they copied that headline. That was their link. I thought, who in the world is so stupid to call it a guerrilla war? And sure enough, it was InfoWars and their headline thing there. But I started laughing about thinking about some of these drug cartels. I think it was El Chapo who brought in some exotic African animals or what, big cats. They had hippopotami and all the rest of this kind of stuff. So, well, maybe they brought in gorillas and they're now roaming the jungles of Venezuela.
I think that was the other guy.
The other guy? Which guy was that?
I'm not up on all my drug dealer cartel leader names. I forget exactly, but yeah. Also famous. For, like you said, releasing these hippopotamus and other African animals into the local fauna.
Yeah, the CIA, ultimately, right? The Caracas Highway, choked with cars. But far from typical rush hour traffic, a highway running alongside the national park in Venezuela's capital has ground to a halt because masked men holding Kalashnikovs are stopping drivers and demanding to search their phones and their cars. Is this ICE? Is this the TSA? Who is this? These gangs of armed men wearing masks are actually part of Maduro's militias. See, we're not at all like Venezuela, are we? Except when we look exactly like them. Yeah, our armed guys, our ICE agents do the same type of thing. These people call themselves colectivos. They're collectivists, right? Communists, in other words. They scoured the vehicles and hastily erected checkpoints following a government directive to root out Venezuelans who support the U.S.'s brazen capture of Maduro. Venezuelans have been left fearing what could come next as mobs of men dressed in civilian clothes with assault rifles slung over their shoulders roam the streets. Again, this is just like ICE. As a matter of fact, I thought it was really funny that John Stewart had a comment about how much this is like ICE. He said, Maduro got reverse iced. They actually imported him instead of deporting him.
Well, let's get right to the big story. Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, President Trump and an elite team of Delta Force special operators removed a dangerous foreign dictator from power. Not that one. They're actually friends. And
Mohammed bin Salman.
I think business partners. No, not that easy.
Not Putin either. Yeah.
Close. That's not okay. I believe these two have more of a heated rivalry.
Kim Jong-un.
If you know what I mean, so it's not that one. No, that's... That one, no, that wasn't us. No, I'm talking about the now former president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, who was reverse iced and imported. He was actually imported to a jail in Brooklyn.
You know, we don't have enough people from South America in jails already. Let's bring some in, right? The future is uncertain. The colectivos have weapons. The Colombian guerrilla is already here in Venezuela, so we don't know what's going to happen. Time will tell, said a 69-year-old Venezuelan shop owner. The state of emergency decree published on Monday ordered police to immediately begin a national search and capture of everyone involved in the promotion or support of the armed attack by the United States. And, you know, in the United States, again, on... the anniversary of January the 6th, we had some protesters in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who were protesting this action. Again, they're different. Their reasons for protesting are different than mine. I am not a fan of Maduro, the communist in Venezuela, but I don't like the means that were used. However, these people were fans. I mean, they're Viva la Revolution and all the rest of this stuff. And this woman is a 22-year-old preschool teacher who had been to Venezuela recently to show support. So they're very much a part of one tribe or the other. I'm not a part. I'm not a Republican Democrat. I'm not an American government supporter. I'm not a Venezuelan government supporter. But look at what happened to these people as they're marching down the side of the street. And as soon as she's talking to the press, and immediately she gets arrested, right, as soon as she finishes her interview.
Of this interview, you could see that police car. And now right here, we're showing you video we have. Immediately after the interview finished, Plicta was arrested by two Grand Rapids police officers. You can see it in the video, and an officer... tells Plicta that she is being arrested for obstructing a roadway and failure to obey a lawful command from a police officer. You can see as she's taken away in that car, she was issuing a number of messages about wanting the U.S. to free Maduro. But again, she was taken away by police officers there. And you can see in this video, officers were closely following this procession in downtown Grand Rapids. We have reached out to GRPD for more information about the arrest, but we have not heard back so far.
And again, if you look at that video there, if the police were not blocking the one side of the road, cars could get around them if they weren't there. So it's a common, the road is blocked with the police and the protesters, but without the police presence there, the road would not have been blocked. I thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, on January 6th, I didn't cover January 6th yesterday. I'm sick and tired of talking about it, frankly. A lot of people who want to talk about January the 6th. I talked about January the 6th before it happened. I warned people not to go because I could tell what was going on. They weren't going to change anything. There wasn't anything that was going to change. Stop sending your money to Alex Jones and Donald Trump because of your perceived election corruption. Especially because it was Trump who gave us the vote by mail corruption. That was all part of his policy. I mean, here's what I think about all of this stuff in the long term. I think it was a deliberate move to hand power over to Biden for 4 years, to go back and forth, so that everybody's got plausible deniability. We didn't do it. The other side did it. So they didn't want to have Donald Trump, who was going to be their agent of chaos, completely discredited by both producing the vaccine and forcing people to take it. So they brought Biden in to force people to take it. Nevertheless, you know, when we go back and we look at January the 6th, I have said all along that even though I knew that was going to happen, I don't think it was justified for the Biden administration to imprison people for exercising what is specifically protected in the First Amendment, peacefully redressing your grievances with government, which is what those people were doing. Except they were doing it for a cause that we don't agree with, right? So, depending on where you are, you're not going to support the First Amendment, right? You don't support the First Amendment for people who are protesting what Trump just did if you support Trump. And you don't support the First Amendment for Trump supporters if you oppose Trump, right? This is where we are now. Neither side supports the principles of free speech. Neither side supports the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And so I thought that was the January the 6th story yesterday. Yeah, I know you got all these people, you know, Bannon and Alex Jones, everything, who are all about January 6th. I've talked to people who were falsely imprisoned, wrongfully imprisoned, because of January the 6th, and they still don't get it. They still don't understand how they were betrayed, how they were left to go to prison because Trump was afraid to give them a preemptive pardon. He thought that would be damaging to him, so he left them in the lurch with all of that stuff. But anyway, back to this. So they ordered the police there in Venezuela to do what Trump is ordering police here to do. Search people's phones, find out what their politics are. If they're trying to come into the country, get their social media profile, get their DNA, all the rest of this stuff. In many ways, I think we are worse than the totalitarian communists there in terms of civil liberties. One Venezuelan wished to remain anonymous, said she would no longer leave her house with her phone over fears that it could be scoured for anti-Maduro texts or photographs, which could lead to her imprisonment. So, yeah, like here, you know, don't put something on there that's anti-Trump. You might get singled out by Border Patrol or TSA or whatever. The paramilitaries have already arrested 14 journalists and media workers, 11 of them from foreign news outlets. For hours, they were arrested before releasing some of them. The whereabouts of other journalists are unknown. The presence of the colectivos, armed men who ride around on motorcycles, and are used as an unofficial government arm of repression, suggests that Maduro loyalists are desperately attempting to maintain their grip on the country. Let me just say, you think you're going to rebuild the oil industry there? You may want to pay attention to all the drone strikes on oil refineries in Russia and Ukraine. They are very easy targets. Now, these are not oil refineries that they have. There was going to be oil drilling wells. You remember the movie? I had to look it up. It was 1968, Hellfighters. John Wayne played this guy who was the world's expert on putting out oil well fires because they're very difficult to stop. His name was Red Adair. And although they gave the character a different name, it was very clear that that's who he was, and he was a consultant to the film. But that's a very difficult thing to put out. It's a very easy fire to start at an oil well. It's very difficult to put that out. So if these people want to conduct a guerrilla campaign, that's going to be the easiest thing in the world. You go there for the oil, they can make sure you don't get the oil. They said they would not allow Trump and his U.S. pigs to come in and plunder the country's natural resources. Another video shows the Interior Minister, Diosdado Cabello, posing with a crowd of armed militias. They shouted, "Always loyal, never traitors." Mr. Cabello has a $50 million bounty on his head from the U.S., allegedly for drug trafficking. He largely controls the colectivos. They said there's enough people here to fight for this revolution, to fight for the motherland. One person that identified himself as Freddy Rodriguez is a member of a network set up by Maduro in 2019 to control protests. They call theirs the Cupas. By the way, as I said before, the Honduran president that Trump just pardoned for drug trafficking was somebody who was arrested by his own government, extradited by his own government because of American charges. I'm fine with that. Well, again, the drug war is not effective. It's not pragmatic. And it is something that has been used, as I said, to feed the addiction for power of our government. The drug war has been used as the tip of the spear to destroy rule of law and Constitution and Bill of Rights. It has been the tip of the spear for government corruption of law enforcement and the courts as well. On Monday morning, most shops and businesses had reopened in Caracas, and the long queues of panicked Venezuelans trying to buy provisions had dissipated. Police and intelligence officers lined the streets at the center of Caracas, with two main avenues closed, as Rodriguez, Delcy Rodriguez, Maduro's vice president, was sworn in by her brother. She said, "I come with sorrow for the suffering inflicted on the Venezuelan people following an illegitimate military aggression against our homeland. I come with sorrow for the kidnapping of two heroes." Her comments were exactly opposite of what she had said on Sunday when she said that she had, quote, invited the U.S. government to work together on an agenda of cooperation in the wake of Trump warning that she would pay a very high price if she did not do so, do whatever he told her to. So again, she's got to walk this tightrope. On the one hand, there's all these collectivos, these guerrillas, guerrillas on motorcycles. So they're on the one hand, and they're very close to her, and there's been a lot of gunshots going off, and of course, they've tamped that down, and the Ministry of Truth there has said that that was police shooting at unauthorized drones, and so I guess we can believe that. Anyway, the country's constitution requires an election within 30 days if the president becomes permanently unavailable. I would say that he is unavailable and is going to be unavailable for at least 30 days, perhaps quite a bit longer. It's gonna be, the trial is going to be months away, as a matter of fact. We had the arraignment right away, but the trial is going to be quite some time. The Supreme Court, however, declared Mr. Maduro's absence to be a temporary one. In such a scenario, the vice president takes over for up to 90 days. It can be extended up to 6 months. But again, the people that the Trump administration say won the election, Maria Corina Machado, who is the opposition leader, as well as the guy who actually was allowed to be on the ballot, and according to the U.S. government and other governments who actually won, Gonzalez, neither of them are being considered by Trump for running the country, for being president. Rodriguez, as you know, is one of the main architects of torture, persecution, corruption, and narco-trafficking, said Ms. Machado. She is a main ally and a liaison of Russia, China, Iran, certainly not an individual who could be trusted by international investors, and she is really rejected by the Venezuelan people. Well, again, this is going to be, you know, this person is a Democrat. You know, you can't trust them. I've got my problems with Democrats. That's absolutely for sure. But look, this is just more of this tribalism. Well, you have to go after Venezuela because they're allied with Iran and China and Russia and so forth. So everybody that's out there allied with them, I guess they're now fair game to be attacked, invaded, and have their country taken over. Is that right? Is that really what we want from the American government? That's what Glenn Beck is selling you. I wanted a change in government because these people have done a lot of damage to the country, said a shopkeeper. They forgot they were public servants. They thought they owned the country. But now we're at the same point. He's left, and another person has replaced him. Yeah, just like the Who said. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Most international leaders don't agree with what happened, but it happened, said another person. We saw it coming, everybody saw it coming, but nobody imagined it would happen like this, so violent. Some wished for it, others not, but then there's not one country in the world that can interfere in the government and say the will is mine. No, that is a lie. This belongs to the Venezuelan people, but that is exactly what Trump is saying. You know, they took our oil. That's our oil. While she pushed back at Trump's suggestion that he would run Venezuela, others were accepting of the current situation. 59-year-old sports coach said, "Honestly, I think this should not have happened. He should be in his country governing his country. All I wish for Venezuela is for things to be calm. We've been through so much already. I know that we weren't well, but emotionally and physically, we were more at peace. And again, this is the way it always is, isn't it? These people who have their own political objectives domestically or their own geopolitical objectives internationally. We're the ones who suffer the consequences while they play their games domestically and internationally. The thought of Trump deciding what comes next for Venezuelans as opposed to holding fair elections has left many concerned. I don't agree with Trump, what Trump said, and he said he was coming to run our country. I want a transition. I want an election, said the shopkeeper. If the majority of people are in favor of Delcy, fine. If it's a transparent election, we'll recognize the results peacefully. If the Chavismo win, then okay. But if the opposition wins, they have to recognize their defeat. But again, Trump's not recognizing their defeat, is he? He wants to put the woman who is on the side of the political party that overthrew the election, he wants her to run the country for him. So there's chaos, there's gunfire, there's explosions. This is already starting to look like the asymmetric warfare that we've seen in other countries. And it's going to be very difficult for them to extract a volatile product like oil in the midst of a guerrilla war, in the midst of a civil war. And civil war fears are growing as the heavily armed far-left militias take over the streets of Caracas. This is what we see with every CIA occupation, every CIA coup, every Pentagon occupation. They've all got a plan until they get punched in the face, right? This is the punch in the face that is already, you can see the fist balling up. They haven't landed one yet, but it's going to happen. They have their own ministry of disinformation that is tamping everything down. This is from retired Colonel Douglas McGregor. He said, you know, Panama and Grenada, people look at that and say, well, look at the precedents that we had with Panama and Grenada. He said, that's very different. He said, Panama and Grenada were minuscule countries compared with Venezuela. They had very small populations. We had a long-term presence in Panama. We worked closely with the Panamanian defense forces there. We had a lot of opportunities to exercise influence there, such as we did, by the way, when we had crises in the Philippines. Because of our longtime presence in the Philippines, we're able to influence outcomes there as well. But I don't think we can do that in Venezuela. We don't have that level of influence. The second thing is that I think a lot of people underestimate the extent to which people of Venezuela take pride in their country. People may not love Maduro, but they're not going to be very grateful for the U.S. influence to shove some puppet down their throats. Yeah, I would not want to be the puppet that is seen as a puppet for Trump in Venezuela. But I think the next place that Trump is going to go is going to be Colombia, as I said before. You got the guy there who was taunting Trump, come and get me, I'm waiting, and all the rest of stuff. Well, you know, that puts him right at the top of the list. Because again, this is about the ego, the massive out-of-size ego of Donald Trump. It'll make him next. I think even Cuba is going to take a back seat with all this stuff. He's even said, well, you know, Cuba is going to fall on its own without oil from Venezuela. Greenland can wait. They keep making threats against Greenland, but it can wait. Iran, that's going to be whenever Netanyahu wants it to happen. Trump will take orders from him, so that's really up to Netanyahu. But I think that Colombia may be next on the list as the top priority after the taunting of Trump. And I look at this and I wonder, was this guy high on cocaine when he made these statements? Come and get me. You can't touch me. I don't accept your assassinations or your missiles. Well, you don't have to accept them. They're coming anyway, whether you accept it or not. He says, don't threaten me.
They don't usually come with a return to sender option on those, you know?
Yeah, he says,
they're not waiting for your signature for acceptance.
Yeah. He says, come and threaten. He says, don't threaten me. I'll wait for you right here if you want. I don't accept invasions, missiles, or assassinations. So, don't think he's got any say-so on that. And it's just insane when you look at the double standards of the Trump administration and the idea that the oil companies are going to go in and be able to rebuild this. And guess who's going to pay the price? You and I. Higher taxes, more debt. The only good thing about all this stuff is that we do have a way that we can play this if we invest in gold, because we can see just how horrible Trump is going to be for peace, for prosperity, for inflation, and for the U.S. dollar. That's the way, the only thing really that you can do with this information, because we have no control over geopolitics. Over some of these other issues, we can organize at the local level. All we can do is speak out. And if they don't like you speaking out, you might get arrested if you're in a place like Grand Rapids, Michigan. Who knows? We'll have to see. Trump is saying this is completely different from Iraq. How? Well, he told Joe Scarborough. Scarborough said, so how is this different from Iraq? Why would we think that this is going to work? And he said, well, the difference is Bush didn't keep the oil. We're going to keep the oil. he said, 2016, I said we should have kept the oil. It caused a lot of controversy. Well, we should have kept the oil. And we're going to rebuild their broken down oil facilities. This time we're going to keep the oil. So I guess that's the difference, right? We were lied into the Iraq war. And Trump promoted the liar in chief of all that stuff. CIA director, Gina Haspel. He made her his CIA director. She was one who produced the lies using torture, sold the lies. And so, yeah, it is just like Iraq, except this time we're going to be more mercenary about it. And I guess that's the problem. You know, when I look at the military and all this back and forth, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, Mark Kelly and this retired CIA person, they are, you know, they were playing a game. What they said was right. And again, the easiest thing in the world for War Pete and Trump to say would be, well, we're not giving illegal orders, and we're not going to give illegal orders. But they didn't say that. They took the position that if they give you illegal orders, you will follow those illegal orders. And then Kelly and the CIA, Slotkin, came back and said, well, I can't think of anything that Trump's done that's illegal. Seriously, you can't think of anything he's done? You know, killing people on the high seas without even knowing if they've got drugs, just on suspicion of it, that's not illegal. It's clearly illegal, and they wouldn't say that. And we know why they wouldn't say it, because they have been a part of following illegal orders like that, and because they want the federal government to have the power to issue illegal orders. So it's just a game to tweak Trump. And I say a pox on both of them, a pox on Trump, a pox on Mark Kelly, and a pox on Hegseth, because now he is trying to make recriminations against Kelly for speaking out. You have the right to, you not only have the obligation to not follow illegal orders, but you have the First Amendment right, especially as a senator, you have the right to talk about the fact that people need to consider whether or not these orders are illegal. That's always been my concern when we went to a professional army. Are they going to become mercenaries? Well, I think we know. So Mises.org says there's three key lessons from this Venezuelan intervention. Number one, the Constitution means nothing. And they said, well, we've known this for a long time, right? The U.S. bombing of Caracas reiterates three key foundations of American foreign policy. It exposed the true nature of U.S. foreign policy. None of this is news for anybody who's been paying attention. But number one, we can see from this that the Constitution means nothing. Number two, we see that international law doesn't apply to the U.S. or to Israel. It applies to everybody else, but not to us. And number three, we see that democracy and sovereignty mean nothing to the government of the United States. And that's really being driven home with all this talk about Greenland as well. You know, the only silver lining about the Greenland stuff is the fact that we may be able to get out of NATO. He may blow up NATO. That entangling alliance, which is one of many things that we've done, leaving, as Pat Buchanan said, tripwires all over the world to drag us into war. It'd be good if we got out of that, but we'll see what happens. But KWD 68, 99-cent Trump gas, winning. That poor shopkeeper doesn't understand Venezuela will be the best golden age. It is 5D Venezuelan chess. Yeah, right. Guard Goldsmith, the Venezuelan, South American, Central American militarism from the U.S. comes in tandem with his thirst for Greenland and his overthrow of Syria, oil trade routes, strangling of Russia, China. It's all very troubling. I see Tulsi Gabbard is showing more of her hypocrisy, applauding Trump's attack on Venezuela and unconstitutional kidnapping of the Maduros. Yeah. I didn't know if she'd remain silent or if she's actually cheering it, but she's actually cheering it. And it's just a couple months ago that she was against regime change. And look, if you want to play this tribal game, if you want to say, well, we should go take over any country that is friendly with Iran and Russia and China, you want to play that game, that is a prescription for World War III. That's where this ultimately leads. It's not just overthrowing the rule of law domestically and internationally and doing and having no principles about war. It's drag us into World War III. We'll be right back.
The David Knight Show.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, as I said before, Dan Bongino is now going back to commenting after essentially, I think, destroying his credibility with this Epstein stuff. He returns to MAGA with a new mission and a razor-sharp warning. Now, he's calling out the black pill crew that is trying to poison the movement with negativity and infighting. That's right. Do not criticize Trump. Do not question him. Fall in line. Do what I say. You know, be like Bongino. If you need to, lie on the guy's behalf. That's what Dan Bongino did, right? Neocons and media gatekeepers are profiting from the drama because they need MAGA divided and weak.
Also, I got to say, not believing Trump is a hero is only a black pill if you were putting all your hope in man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, I don't believe in Trump. I don't believe in any of these politicians. But yeah. I'm hopeful. There's always hope. I don't put my hope in men, and no one should. None of these people are going to save you.
We're not without hope. We're without hope in Trump. Yeah. And again, that's his comment. Neocons and media gatekeepers are profiting from this drama, so... Again, so don't, is Trump breaking his commitment? Is Cash Patel and Bongino, are they lying? Are they doing cover-ups or whatever? No, shut up. Don't talk about that. Fall in line. Bongino left the FBI, walked back into MAGA, found the movement reeling with division, negativity, and insiders trashing Trump. I don't see that. I see these people still fawning over him. I see people who are putting America last, people who put character last, people like Bongino, people like Cash Patel. Cash Patel just rolling in the power of privilege and his special plane flights, taking a golf trip, take the FBI jet to, and another guy take this gigantic jet on a trip to Scotland to play golf. It's disgusting to see how these people have been seduced by the trappings of power.
Also, I got to say this. I'm sure I've said something like this before, but if that's all they did, if Cash was just out there wasting the FBI's time and money, riding around in a jet, If he was using all of their resources to do that, I would say he's a great hire. If he was monopolizing the FBI's time to keep him flying from golf course to golf course, that would be the best director we've had in I don't know how long.
Keep him busy. Keep him from make him leave us alone, right? So, he's saying, hey, look, we got midterms coming up this year. If you're still whining and complaining about what's happening, we got 3/4 of the term still left. So he says, so please find the exits. Is that why he left? We got 3/4. We got to get some stuff done. He himself left after the first quarter. I think he's trying to protect himself. He found the exit. I found the exit a long time ago. And I think it'll be interesting to see if people pay any attention to him after how he thoroughly discredited himself with all this Epstein stuff. He says, I want to warn the haters and the zeros. This isn't our first, our second, or our 10th rodeo. Says the guy who pushed the jab in order to flatter Trump so that Trump would help him. He knew better. Dan Bongino knew better. And he pushed the jab. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm not taking that stuff. And then to keep his job on the radio, he took it. And then he pushed the jab on other people with Trump. He said, I started in this movement as a candidate for the Tea Party movement. I've never been a fan of the Tea Party movement. It never had any discernible principles. It was always too vague. Tea Party was about taxed enough already. Okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to reduce spending or reduce taxes? And what are you going to cut? They never had any answers.
Too much tea, not enough teeth.
Yeah, that's right. There was no teeth in the Tea Party. They didn't know, they didn't have an agenda for what should be done. No, they didn't want to stand behind something like individual liberty or the Constitution. They didn't care about any of that stuff. It was kind of a pragmatic, we kind of see this from Citizens Against Government Waste. You know, let's make government more efficient. I never supported that, just like I didn't support DOGE. I, quite frankly, don't want an efficient government. It's bad enough when it's inefficient. Let's keep it as inefficient as possible. There's a lot of waste and corruption, but pretty much everything the government does is illegal and wasteful. So why are we going to focus on just a couple of things? That's missing the big picture that's there. So
yeah, really don't want to focus on efficiency and get it very efficient while it's corrupt. You deal with the corruption, and then you can work on efficiency.
That's right. But here's, I think, the most interesting statement he said, considering what he did with the Epstein documents. He said he vowed to bring the American people the truth. We're going to get the answers that we all deserve, says the guy who lied to you about the Epstein documents. Truly amazing. Luke Radowski says, so after horribly losing the fight against the deep state and covering up the Epstein crimes, now Bongino has decided that he's actually going to fight now. But he's going to go after independent media that criticizes Trump. That's where he's going to go. Well, we talk about regime change and wars and the guy who covets the Peace Prize. You know, 2026 began with 3 solid days of airstrikes in Somalia. Hey, but don't complain, right? You want to talk about grifters? Hey, Bongino, why don't you talk about the Trump family and how much money they have made? But there is, as one person said, Thomas Massey says, Trump says this about Massey. He says, there's a sickness with Massey. There's something wrong with Massey. Is Trump allowed to criticize other Republicans? Yeah, it's not a problem. It's only a problem if you criticize Trump. He can criticize and trash anybody that he wants. Anybody that complains about the bankrupting of America by Trump and Biden and others like that, the total disregard for the budget deficit. You complain about that, you become public enemy number one. That was the first issue that he had with Massey. This is not the first time that he's tried to primary Massey out. And Massey said that Trump's interest in the country was primarily about oil and regime change weeks before this happened. And of course, we all knew that. But Trump loves Mike Johnson, effusively praised him in remarks at a GOP retreat while he trashed Thomas Massey. Well, the America First lie, how the U.S. loots nations, installs dictators, and calls it democracy. This is from Free Thought Project. They told us they were restoring order in Argentina. They were fighting terror in the Middle East. Instead, they created a blueprint for mass murder, economic theft, and the perpetual state of war. The headlines are screaming about Operation Southern Spear and U.S. naval blockade and subsequent airstrike campaign. But those of us who've been paying attention to history, this is all very familiar. The Uniparty, the two-headed beast. And quite frankly, this is even more than the Uniparty. This is the CIA deep state that is running the same scripts that they have done over and over again. And we know how these things have always happened in the past. But let's take a look at Mike Johnson, the guy that Trump loves, who does everything that Trump wants. He has become a disgusting little puppet. Everybody can see it. And now with a straight face, is the headline, with a straight face, Mike Johnson says that the U.S. ouster of Maduro was not regime change.
This is not a regime change. This is a demand for change of behavior by a regime. The interim government is stood up now.
Spoken like a prevaricating lawyer.
That they will be able to correct their action. They cannot participate with narco-terrorists and very dangerous international criminal organizations that harm and target Americans, frankly, and traffic all of these dangerous drugs into our country, that do all this great harm to our country. They cannot continue that activity. We have a way of persuasion because their oil exports, as you know, have been ceased, and I think that will bring the country to a new governance in very short order. So we don't expect troops on the ground. We don't expect direct involvement in any other way beyond just coercing the interim government to get that going.
So what are you going to do when they blow up your oil refineries there, or your oil fields, not refineries, but the oil fields there? What are you going to do about that? Then you're going to send in troops, right? And the bottom line, how can you say that, and of course, it's very important for Marco Rubio and others to say, he's not the president, he's a strong man, right? He's not a head of state. We didn't kidnap a head of state. Well, you did. Unless you want to say that the elections are illegitimate, you're going to then put in Gonzalez or Machado? No, they're not going to do that either. They want to have their lie and have you eat it, too. That's, you know, you can't say that the legitimate government is the one that, you know, we support. He overthrew the election and then not put the legitimate government in. But he's also saying that it's not a war either.
With regard to the war powers and the compliance with federal law.
We're not going to get in the way of Trump. War.
We do not have U.S. armed forces in Venezuela and we are not occupying that country. The Constitution gives Congress the power to declare war, that is true. But it also vests the President of the United States with vast authorities as Commander-in-Chief. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, the President has the authority, as all presidents do, to deploy military forces to address threats to the U.S. and to enforce U.S. law. That is what happened here. The War Powers Act states that notification should be made to Congress within 48 hours following the initiation of hostilities. As we've noted, and I've made many public comments, that happened almost instantaneously here. My first call was at 4 a.m. by Secretary of State Rubio. Despite the claims by some of my colleagues under the War Powers Act, there is no requirement for prior congressional approval or prior notification. And in fact, in this case, the intelligence was so sensitive, the conditions had to be perfect. There was no predetermination of when exactly it would occur. And if there had been prior notice, even assembling the Gang of Eight, for example, during a December holiday, it would have set off alerts and very likely might have been a leaked situation, which could have caused great damage to our forces, our troops there.
Yeah, I mean, even if you have the Pentagon ordering lots of pizza, I mean, you know, that could be a tip-off to these people. Everything's got to be secret for national security. We can't tell you. We can't tell Congress. Let's just forget about all of that stuff. That's what Mike Johnson is trying to tell you. He is just a shameful sycophant for Trump. And look at others, Pam Bondi, especially when we look at Bongino. We're not allowed to criticize the Epstein file cover-up. You realize that it may be years before these things are released at the current pace that they're going. They have released, since the deadline that they were supposed to release, they weren't going to release these at all, but because of the actions in Congress. They had a December the 19th deadline. At that point in time, they released just over 12,000 files. And yet they're saying that there are more than 2 million documents. So at this pace, we're looking at something that is going to take years. But you should trust Bongino. You should trust that he and those people there were telling you the truth then, and they will tell you the truth in the future. Don't be blackpilled about Trump. Yeah, continue to hope in Trump. So, again, look at this. 12,000 documents, 2 million documents, but even the 12,000 documents. How could Bongino and Kash Patel, how could they look you straight in the face and tell you that they had looked at these documents and there was nothing there? How did they have time for all this stuff? They've got an army of lawyers. They're saying they've got 400 lawyers on this. So how did Bongino and Kash know all this stuff? Have they taken the Evelyn Woods speed reading class? They went through 12,000 documents? I don't think so. I don't think that Kash Patel had the time between all of the concerts he's flying to and the golf trips to Scotland, I mean. I don't think he had the time for that. The release materials represent less than 1% of the total volume in the DOJ's possession. Yeah, Bondi had all those things on her desk. She had 2 million documents on her desk. I'd like to see a picture of that. These people have just lied up one side and down the other. While the Department of Justice, so-called, unveiled a trove of photos and documents relating to Epstein by the December 19th deadline, the heavy redactions were put in. Problem is, even though they tried to redact you from being able to search for the term Trump, they forgot that you could search for the term Trump space. So people found more than 600 references in the documents that were released in the first day or so. One of Epstein's victims called the file drop a slap in our faces, she said. On Christmas Eve, Bondi's Department of Justice said it had been informed of the existence of over a million more documents potentially related to the Epstein case. And after reviewing those documents, it may take a few more weeks. A few more weeks? Take years at the pace that they're going. Last week, the AP and New York Times reported that the DOJ had expanded its review of Epstein-related documents to over 5 million records. 5 million records, and they've been able to produce 12,000 in a couple of months. And we're supposed to believe that that trio of liars had evaluated all this stuff and knew that there was nothing there. So Ro Khanna said, I'm less concerned about the timeline, more concerned about them releasing key documents. If they were acting in good faith, if they're putting out the survivors' statements, if they're putting out these prosecution memos, then they would have a leg to rest on. They could say, well, it's a huge file and it's taking time. But the point is, that doesn't take a lot of time. They're just not releasing it. In other words, you look at the core things like the prosecution documents, the statements of the victims and things like that. Those could be put out unredacted. But since they're not doing that, all the rest of the stuff like phone logs and, you know, other logs and things like that, you may be able to infer some information from that. That could take a while, but they're taking the central core documents and hiding them, redacting them. Meanwhile, Massey and Khanna have said that they are considering holding Bondi in inherent contempt over the matter. And I think that is really why Bongino has left. But as I said earlier, at the very beginning of the program, we see something else for this Mike Johnson guy here. There's just been a complaint lodged to the FEC about Mike Johnson and his treasurers who have been caught smurfing $5,808,595 into Johnson's campaign committees. Smurfing, do you know what that is? Well, smurfing is criminal money laundering back into political campaigns. This is the type of thing we've been talking about Biden doing for a very long time in Ukraine. You know, you have money that you send to a foreign country, or money that you send to allow being sent to foreigners who are here doing fraudulent daycare centers, anything like that. You know, you push the money to some corporation or some institution or some cause or some foreign country, and then you get kickback into your political campaign. That's called smurfing. The reason they do that is because what they do is the same type of thing that we saw with, what was that, Act Blue. Act Blue was the institution. They were putting donations in the names of people who were, you know, retired on Social Security or whatever. Maybe they had sent a donation at one point in time of $5 to their cause. Somehow they got these people's names, and they started sending regular donations of really large amounts. So these people were sending thousands and thousands of dollars, and so you had some reporters go around and find these names and ask some of these people, so did you give this money? No, I don't have that kind of money. I can't send that kind of money in. So that's the way they do this. That's called smurfing.
Act Blue smurfing is pretty ironic.
Maybe that's why they came up with the term. Because it was that was the first place that I heard about this was with Act Blue a couple of years ago. But yeah, the blue smurfs that are out there.
Also, another term for smurfing is when you create a new account in a game you're already good at just so you can beat up new players. That's the term I'm familiar with.
That's funny. Well, the people that they are taking action against is not just Mike Johnson, but it's also John Thune of South Dakota, the Republican leader of the Senate, as well as the Republican leader of the House. Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota. Senator Warnock, a Democrat from Georgia. Senator Mark Kelly, a Democrat from Arizona. Senator Slotkin of Michigan. That's the Kelly and Slotkin, the two people that took the lead on this video about don't follow illegal orders, and said, well, I can't think of anything illegal that Trump has done. And then Senator Baldwin of Wisconsin and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. These people have all have allegedly been smurfing, taking kickbacks from these various organizations. And this group, this is Pete, the person who tweeted this out is Peter Bernegger. Who put this out.
That's and, Negger with an E-R.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta be careful when you say these things.
So anyway, they're using computer bots to do it, and they are stealing the identities of senior citizens. Smurfing is happening, he says, at the federal level, the state level, the county level, and even at high school board election levels. The treasurer is the legally responsible officer for authorizing, receiving, recording, and reporting committee contributions, and is therefore properly named where violations involving false contributor identification or contributions in the name of another. So Johnson Leadership Fund has accepted 2,772, they're very precise about this, smurfed donor transactions that total $2,214,635 from 682 unique smurfing donors. These transactions encompass 27% of the 10,258 available committee transactions and also 15% of the $14,640,757 full committee transaction valuations. And they go on with more information from some other foundations that he has. And it all adds up to just under $6 million. And it all adds up to, this is yet another way that our corrupt officials, I started to say elected officials, but I don't believe in elections anymore, quite frankly. This is the way our corrupt officials get rich. It's not just the insider trading like Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, they do that as well. But it's also this type of thing. And this is exactly the type of guy you would expect would be involved in this, Mike Johnson. Well, before we go to break, WFVIII, I guess, or WFV8, I guess. I guess I'm sick of the excuses and the idolatry of Trump. He's poisoned 81% of the U.S. population. Yeah, we're talking about the bioweapon, right? What does it take for people to look at that and hold him responsible? That's why I say it is make America double think. I just can't imagine that the people on the right who are aware of this and who understand what the bioweapon is will not hold him responsible. I see it over and over again. The people are still writing about it on the right. We'll talk about all this, but they will never mention Trump in connection with any of it. Crash and Splash 75 says, so when and how many will migrate from Venezuela because Trump has stolen their wealth? Well, I played the clip the other day. You've already got Kristi Noem saying, well, we're going to honor the temporary protected status of people from Venezuela here, and we're going to open it up for more Venezuelan refugees. Right at the very beginning, Kristi Noem, the Ice Barbie, who's been doing LARPing and costume play, going around with all these people on these raids, her very first comment about all this stuff is how we're going to take in more people from Venezuela. Guard Goldsmith, Liberty Conspiracy. Good to see you, Guard. I'm surprised one of the reporters didn't punch Johnson in the face for his insult to their intelligence. Oh, instead, they'll just suck up to him. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is insulting, isn't it? For them to think that we are that stupid that we don't know. The fentanyl stuff. Fentanyl from Canada. Fentanyl from Venezuela. Seriously? I guess they figure that if we'll go along with them on this drug war thing, that we're stupid enough to believe anything. And I guess maybe they're right. We'll be right back.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Well, when you talk about absurd lies and lying to people's faces, Greenland comes to mind. Stephen Miller. I got to put that back in the board. I really liked that song about Greenland. anyway, Stephen Miller says that the U.S. has the right to take Greenland. In a CNN interview, he echoed the president's intent to run Venezuela. And, of course, Stephen Miller and his wife, who used to work for the first Trump administration, have been very vocal lately about that. Stephen Miller, top aide of Trump, actually he's the deputy chief of staff this time around, asserted on Monday that Greenland rightfully belonged to the U.S., that the Trump administration could seize the semi-autonomous Danish territory if it wanted to, right? We just take whatever we want. He said, nobody's going to fight the U.S. military over the future of Greenland, he said. Miller, long a powerful behind-the-scenes player in the Trump administration policy to justify American imperialism, and that's what it is. I mean, you know, I hate the fact that that term has been used so much by the left that it's been discredited. It's like everybody calling somebody racist or anti-Semitic. You know, there are real racists, there are real anti-Semites, but they abuse those terms so much that nobody believes them. You know, there's real imperialism as well. This is it. This is what it looks like. So anyway, his vision for the New World Order. And what they're not talking about is what I think is very important about this, and that is how, and of course, Technocracy News has talked about this as well. If you go back and you look at the technocrats, they wanted to have a unified hemisphere. And basically, you know, we got all the resources that we need. We're just going to, take over everything, make it one unified hemisphere. And that's what the technocrats wanted. We got all the energy that we need and all the resources that we need. And that's what we're going to do. And I think that's a very telling thing. Trump's fascination with this tells you just how much sway the technocrats have with him. So, again, we live in a world, he said, in the real world, Jake, he's talking to Jake Tapper, the real world that is governed by strength, it's governed by force, it's governed by power. Sieg Heil. I mean, this is it. Might makes right, guy. You know, it doesn't. We don't care about borders. We don't care about guidelines. We don't care about law, domestic or international. We can do what we want because we have the power to do it. We have power. Who cares about authority? There's no place for individual rights, folks, in a world like that. This is not just about geopolitical abstractions. This is about individual rights, and we've seen over and over again that they despise our individual rights as much as they do these other things. As Russell Means said in his book, Where White Men Fear to Tread, he said, federal government has made treaty after treaty with Indians and broken every single one of them. And he said, the Constitution, white man, is your treaty from the American government, and they've broken every aspect of that as well, the Bill of Rights particularly. And so when they don't respect the borders of American Indians, when they don't respect the borders of Canada, Greenland, Venezuela, you name it, they don't respect our individual liberties either, because they are lawless pirates. That's really what they are. The U.S. taking Greenland by force would rip apart the central agreement that underpins NATO military alliance. That's the only silver lining behind all this stuff, is that it would do that. So there's a back and forth with Jake Tapper and Stephen Miller. It's very instructive. Listen to this guy. This is one of the key advisors to Donald Trump.
Important topic. The premier of Greenland and the premier of Denmark and other Danish officials are responding to a Twitter post from your wife, Katie Miller, herself a former Trump White House official, showing Greenland covered with an American flag, saying soon after that was posted, President Trump repeated the claim that the U.S. needs Greenland for national security reasons. The Danish prime minister responded to this in an interview earlier today, as reported by Bloomberg, quote, I believe one should take the American president seriously when he says he wants Greenland, but I will also make it clear that if the U.S. chooses to attack another NATO country militarily, then everything stops, including NATO, and thus the security that has been established since the end of the Second World War. Can you rule out that the U.S. is ever going to try to take Greenland by force?
Well, let me go back a step. The president has been clear for months now, so I know you're treating this as breaking news. The president has been clear for months now that the United States should be the nation that has Greenland as part of our overall security apparatus. The
United States, but your wife posted that like hours after the Venezuela operation.
No, but that's
why it's newly relevant.
I'll talk with you about it for an hour. I think it's a really important conversation. I just wanted to reset Jake by making clear that it has been the formal position of the U.S. government since the beginning of this administration, frankly, going back into the previous Trump administration, that Greenland should be part of the United States. The president has been very clear about that. That is the formal position of the U.S. government.
Right, but can you say that military action against Greenland is off the table?
What do you mean military action against Greenland? The Greenland has a population of 30,000 people, Jake. The real question is, by what right does Denmark assert control over Greenland? What is the basis of their territorial claim? What is their basis of having Greenland as a colony of Denmark? The United States is the power of NATO. For the United States to secure the Arctic region, to protect and defend NATO and NATO interests, obviously Greenland should be part of the United States. And so that's a conversation we're going to have as a country.
Obviously.
We're going to have as a community.
Only to you.
So you can't take it off the table that the U.S. would use military force to seize Greenland. You can't take it off the table.
Jake, I understand you're trying very hard to, which again, is your job. I respect it. It's great to get exactly the headline, right, that catchy headline.
I'm trying to get an answer.
That says Miller refuses to rule out. The United States should have Greenland as part of the United States. There's no need to even think or talk about this in the context that you're asking of a military operation. Nobody's going to fight the United States militarily over the future of Greenland.
One last question, Stephen.
So, yeah, that begs the question as nobody's going to fight the United States. So you are talking about force. You're not talking about authority. If Denmark doesn't want the U.S. owning Greenland, if the Greenlanders don't want it, if you've got all the heads of state of Europe that don't want it, then how do you do it peacefully? Again, in that context, he also talks about how important force is and how it has set all the boundaries. And he goes back and pulls it back to, yeah, we just take whatever we want. But of course, we're not going to use force on this. Of course they will. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.